Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Amen. The word of God for our message this morning is the gospel lesson from Luke 7 on page 5 of the worship folder. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, "I know it's not nice to talk about the dead, but," and then what do? They talk about the dead, right? And what they say is usually something that's not very nice. So what they really mean is, it's not nice to talk about the dead. What they really mean is it's not nice to say bad things about the dead. Well, it's not nice to say bad things about anybody, right? But certainly there's nothing wrong with talking about the dead. We do that all the time because we have memories, right? And we like to share those memories, and we like to talk about those memories. There's a saying that says, when you were born, you cried and the world smiled. Live your life so that when you die, you can smile and the world will cry. And that's something we'd all like, right? That when we die and go to heaven, we want to have a smile on our face because we know we're going to heaven. We would also like at least a few people to cry because they're going to miss us, right? So what do you think when you die? Are you going to smile because you know you're going to heaven? Of course. But by the way you're living your life, are there going to be people who cry because they're really going to miss you? Another saying that kind of fits there is, it says, some people come into your life and go quickly. Other people come into your life, stay for a while, and leave footprints on your heart. Do you know people like that? People who have come into your life, they've been a part of your life for a while, and when they died, they left footprints on your heart because they really affected who you are. And again, ask yourself, is that the way you're living your life? Are you leaving footprints on people's hearts? Are you affecting people so they'll never be the same in a positive way? And we'd all like that also, wouldn't we? Well, we're going to look today at a Roman centurion in the Bible story before us who was a man who certainly was leaving footprints on the hearts of the people in Capernaum. He was a man who, if he would have died, would certainly have been missed. And what we're going to look at is what caused people to love this man so much. And Jesus tells us what it is. You know, he said, "I've never seen such great faith, even in all of Israel." It was his faith that made him who he was. You know, I think we have to know who this man was, because he's called a centurion. And that meant that he was a Roman soldier. We're also told that he had converted to Judaism. But as a centurion, he would have been in charge of the Roman garrison of 100 soldiers that was stationed in Capernaum. And usually, you know, people who were Roman soldiers, because they represented the Roman government that the people despised, and those Roman soldiers, especially the leaders, the centurions, were usually pretty much despised by the people because of the iron fists they ruled with. But that wasn't the case here, was it? And what we're going to do is we're going to look at four character traits that this man displayed. You know, first of all, he was loved by the people, right? He was loved sincerely by the people of Capernaum. Secondly, we're told that he was a very loving and giving person himself. We also see that he was a very humble man, and also a man who had complete faith and trust in the power of Jesus. You know, you can tell how much these people loved the centurion. The centurion's servant was sick, you know, on death's door, if you will. And some of the leaders of the synagogue went out and said, "Jesus, if anyone deserves to have you perform a miracle, it's this centurion. He even built our synagogue." You can tell the love they had for him, right? This Roman soldier, and they said, "Jesus, please, please come and heal his servant because he really deserves it." Why did he deserve it? Well, because of the way he was. He was a very kind and loving person. Not only did he build the synagogue for the people in Centurion, you know, be that generous and giving, but you can also tell by the way he talked about his servant. You know, he said, "Lord, don't trouble yourself. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed." He uses that word servant, and when we think of the word servant, you know, sometimes it, you know, people think of the word slave or an employee. But the word he's using for servant here actually means a dear child. Think about that. He didn't say, "Jesus, come and heal my servant." He said, "Jesus, come and heal my dear child." And it shows you the kindness and love that he showed to the troops that were under his care and under his leadership. He wasn't a man that, you know, that ruled with an iron fist. He wasn't a man that simply made demands of people. You know, he didn't seem like the typical drill sergeant we see on television. Just a kind, loving person. And not only did his soldiers understand that, but so did the people of Capernaum. And that's why they went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, if anyone deserves for you to come and heal this man, please, please, it's this centurion." So Jesus is going towards his house, and the centurion knows that he's coming, and then he shows his humility. He says, "Jesus, don't bother. Don't trouble yourself. I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. I'm not worthy to have you enter my house." Do you see the humility? And then you also see his trust, right? Because he said, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my house. I'm not worthy to have you come under my house. But you just say the word. Just speak the word, and my servant, my dear child, will be healed." Trust in the power of Jesus, right? He didn't have to come and perform any signs or lay hands on him or whatever. Just speak the word. And what happened? People came and said, "Your servant's well." And then what was Jesus' reaction? Jesus said, "I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel." And again, let's compare this to our own lives. Are you a person that people genuinely love and care about the way the Jews cared about this centurion? Are you a person who is living your life so that you are loving and kind and giving to other people the way this servant was towards his soldiers, or the way this centurion was towards his soldiers, towards his servants, and toward the people of Capernaum? Are you humble? Do you look at all the blessings that you have and realize that you don't deserve any of them, and they are all a gift of God's love and God's grace? Or sometimes are you the type of person who says, you know, after all the things I do for God, it's about time he did a little bit for me? You know, just think about all the blessings we have. And do you have complete trust in the power of God to take care of all of your needs? What made this centurion the way he was? Jesus tells us, right? It was his faith. And just, you know, just ask yourself, what came first? Was this man kind? Did this man get faith because he was so kind and loving? Or was he kind and loving because he had faith? Because he had faith, right? Was this man humble? And that's what gave him his faith? Or did his faith and trust in Jesus make him humble? Did this man trust in Jesus so that he could get faith? Or did his faith lead him to trust in Jesus? It's the faith, right? And that's why I told the kids, you know, the way to get into heaven is through faith in Jesus, and we all know that. We believe and we trust in Jesus because he died for our sins, because we know we're forgiven, we know we're God's children, and we know he's going to take us to heaven. That's faith. But sometimes we forget about the other side of faith. And that's that our faith in Jesus literally changes who we are. It's our faith in Jesus that makes us kind, loving, and humble. So now the question: what is your faith? How is that faith affecting you? I know you can live your life in peace knowing you're going to heaven, but is your faith in Jesus guiding and directing you to live your life so that when you die, you will smile and people will cry? Is your faith in Jesus guiding you to live your life so that you're leaving footprints on other people's hearts so they will never be the same? See, the only way to live your life that way is through the faith that the Holy Spirit gives us. And how does the Holy Spirit give us faith? Faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ. See, not only should we pray that God would give us a stronger faith, but we should get into the word of God on a daily basis so that the Holy Spirit can actually work that faith and strengthen the faith that we have. Do you see the message? Do you see what it means to have faith? Not just trusting Jesus as your Savior, but strengthening your faith to change who you are. May God grant all of us a stronger faith. Amen.